According to a recent agreement signed by civil administration departments of Beijing, Tianjin and Hebei, in the future, Beijing citizens can choose any of the three places to live after retirement and enjoy the same pension and subsidies. Will Beijingers move to Tianjin or Hebei to enjoy their retired life?
目前呢，北京、天津、河北三地民政部门共同签署了京经济民政事业协同发展合作框架协议。未来呢，北京市民可以在三地自由地选择养老院，享受的养老金补贴等等待遇是不变的。那北京人会愿意去天津和河北养老呢？
Well, I think before we go any further, it's probably worth pointing out, just explaining the geographical context of this a little bit. So you've got Beijing, obviously the big capital city here, and Tianjin is another almost as big city, actually. It's about, what, 10, 15 million people live in Tianjin. It's a very, very big city, probably about an hour or two train ride away from Beijing.
Yeah.
And of course, Hebei province is the surrounding province, which surrounds both Beijing and Tianjin. So Beijing, obviously the capital city of China, a very desirable place to live. And I think the crux of this really is that maybe Tianjin and Hebei are seen as somehow less desirable or less desirable places to spend your retirement years. I think maybe that's the crux of this story here.
I think Beijing is not that desirable. Both Tianjin and Hebei have the potential to be the desirable places. For those senior people after their retirement. Because, for one thing, we have to see the reality here in Beijing. The number of permanent residents here in Beijing aged 60 years or older was about 3 million last year, and this figure is to be projected to exceed 4 million in 2020. At the same time as the living standards have been improved all the time, so we see the average life expectancy here in Beijing last year rose to nearly 82 years old. That's why, as the central government has launched a great plan there, the integration of Beijing, Tianjin, and Hebei province. And not very long ago, the agreement signed by the civil administration department of Beijing, Tianjin, and Hebei focuses on cooperation in building more massive nursing homes in surrounding areas of Beijing. At the same time, people have social assistance and pension services. So I think looking to the future, it'll be a promising picture there.
I think it's worth pointing out at this point that elderly care in China is not as advanced as it is maybe in Western countries. In places like the UK and the US, you have that culture of nursing homes for the elderly when they can't look after themselves. And I think in traditional Chinese culture, the tradition has always been for families to look after their own. In the West, you have the concept of the nuclear family, the wife, the husband, and the children, and that's it. Whereas in traditional Chinese societies, it's not uncommon to have three, maybe even four generations under one roof.
Yes.
And traditionally, the elderly in Chinese society have been looked after by the younger members of the family, which goes in with sorts of traditional Confucian values like filial piety and things like that. So the notion of elderly care is quite a new thing in China. That is, paying an organization to look after your elderly relatives instead of you doing it yourself for whatever reason. And so, tied in with this, this is quite a new thing. Maybe people aren't sure of it. So there are other aspects here as well, which is why this is maybe a contentious issue here.
Well, the trend is certainly changing now. I mean, previously we have this notion of children trying to help their parents to try and spend the retirement ages. But certainly with this one-child policy in place for so many years, we are having two grown-ups take care of more than two.
Yeah, it's the 4-2-1 pyramid. So,
yes.
If you have 35
it's
years
getting more and more challenging.
Of one-child policy, you potentially have one child looking after not only two parents, but four grandparents as well. And you can see gradually this is becoming unsustainable, especially in this day and age where more and more people are potentially migrating from their hometowns hundreds or even thousands of miles into big cities nearby in order to get better paid work and better prospects and things like that. So, you know, in instances like that, it can be extremely difficult to look after all these elderly relatives that you may have. So the notion of improving elderly care is quite a big issue in China at the moment.
And also the quality of services you get in different parts of China is not the same. For example, Beijing is considered more developed than Tianjin and Hebei. Mm. Therefore, people are most likely to get the best quality of care. Mm. And the only thing that's stopping them from moving to other places is perhaps if they were to move to, for example, Tianjin and Hebei or even more remote places, they won't have access to as good hospitals. They won't be given as many pensions. So do you think that now that the governments of Tianjin, Beijing and Hebei, they're promising to give the same amount of pension to the retirees, is that going to help?
Well, I really think it depends. It really depends on the coordination and some of the liaison work between Beijing, Tianjin municipal governments and Hebei province there. And, you know, Lai Ming, just now you've pointed out a very good point here, which is, for one thing, the access to some of the good medical services there, I mean, is accessible. And even in Tianjin and Hebei, especially Hebei province, we haven't seen the number of tertiary hospitals there, for example. That's one thing. The second thing is when you talk about the medical insurance there, right? And because, you know, 95% of both rural areas, residents and urban residents, have now the right to enjoy, been covered by the insurance, you're right. However, due to different policies, you will see there is a discrepancies or disparities when it comes to different regions and municipalities.
We're talking about the rate of refund.
Not only the rate of refund, actually,
but the also the number, you know, of diseases covered in the
yeah, it's about the number of diseases, the rate of reimbursement, you know, everything related to this. And so the residents from Beijing might not be enjoying the same amount of reimbursement there if they move to Hebei, for example. So I think definitely there is a huge amount of work to be done in terms of coordination.
I mean, you were talking just there, Lui, about the fact that, you know, obviously you have these lots of big and nice hospitals in Beijing, and, you know, you were saying how in Hebei province there aren't so many tertiary hospitals, but in terms of Tianjin, you know, that's a big city of at least 15 million people in its own right. I mean, surely the standard of medical care in Tianjin is going to be on a par with anything that you get in Beijing as well.
Well, Tianjin, I don't think Tianjin is a problem, but because we're talking about the integration of the three places. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Tianjin is one of the biggest second-tier city and also one of the municipalities here in China. I don't think Tianjin has scarce resources in terms of medical accessibility, but Hebei tends to be a problem here.
Mm. So now we just talk about the obstacles of trying to encourage more people to spend their retirement ages in Tianjin and Hebei. What about the benefits? Are there any benefits they can get?
Of course. I mean, when you talk about the cost of both operating the nursing homes here in Hebei will be significantly lower. That's one thing. Mm. At the same time, you know, when you consider the cost of manpower, the cost of facilities and consumption, you know, put it together, people who will be receiving nursing care there in Hebei and Tianjin will enjoy more benefits. That's from the cost perspective. Another thing I want to mention here in Beijing, because of the limited space, mm-hmm. it's highly impossible for the municipal government to build any massive, like very large-scale nursing homes inside the urban area.
So we're talking about the issue of space.
Yeah, the issue of space and the acquisition of land. So Beijing has a lot of problem when it comes to acquisition of land and space. So if we encourage more senior people after their retirement to go to Hebei and Tianjin, they will enjoy a wide array of different facilities. And, you know, I have seen these, I'm not doing any publicity for this, but there is a very massive scale nursing home there to be built there in Hebei province. And people there will have a complete range of facilities, including apartment buildings, clinics, and entertainment facilities, gyms, and swimming pool. So I think senior people will be very happy living there.
Okay, but according to the market economy, the supply and demand determines the price of a commodity. So the cost of maintaining this maybe healthcare facilities in Beijing is so high simply because there's so much demand here in the city. But once we start encouraging local Beijing people to spend their retirement ages in Tianjin and Hebei, we are going to look at more people, more demand in Tianjin and Hebei looking for this kind of healthcare facilities. Is that going to improve the cost?
I think you've actually touched upon another problem there, Lai Ming, in that the very fact of actually encouraging people from Beijing to go and spend their retirement years in Tianjin or Hebei is likely to be a problem as well. We're talking maybe about people 70, 80 years old who've lived in Beijing potentially all their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might be very resistant to the idea of moving away now for the first time at such an advanced age. Elderly people tend to like routine and, you know,
right. To
know what's going on.
And to the feeling of, like, emotional bondings with their relatives
and
their neighbours.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and some of these, they may have lived together or maybe lived next to for, you know, 40, 50, 60 years.
Mm.
So, you know, suddenly having that taken away from you and then being, you know, parachuted into a new place hundreds of miles away, that might be very difficult for some people to adapt to, I would think.
I'm sure it is. But is there anything the government can do to improve this? Sort of move the whole village to
I think when it comes to emotional bondings, it's impossible for the governments to do anything related to this. Because, I mean, looking to the future, if more and more senior people moving to both Tianjin and Hebei, you know, I think the frequency of the visit paid by their daughters and sons will be even
less.
Even now, consider the situation here in Beijing. I mean, your parents live in Beijing, and me and my spouse are working in... No, I don't have a spouse, just a picture. So me and my spouse are living in Beijing. Even we're living in the same city, it is not very likely for us to pop in any time and check them out and pay them a visit.
Are you too busy, or your imaginary spouse is too busy to do that?
Or maybe both of us are too busy.
Both of you.
Well, isn't there actually a law in China that was passed quite recently which required children, grown children, to visit their elderly parents or call in on their elderly parents on a regular basis? I think that was actually enshrined into law a year or so ago.
I think it was a... Is it a provincial level law or...
Maybe a regulation.
Maybe a regulation.
Not so binding.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, I remember we did a piece about this for my show, and I think it was very disconcertingly vague in terms of how it was worded. It just said people should call on their parents regularly, and there was no stipulation over what regular was.
Uh-huh.
But nevertheless, the fact that this law or regulation or whatever was, you know, has been talked about and potentially, you know, passed into law, it suggests that this is something that people are concerned about.
Yeah, there's a problem here. Mm-hmm. So maybe if the government were serious about this, they should subsidize the children too when they try and visit the parents.
What? Giving subsidies to their children?
Yeah.
I think that would be very difficult to police. Sure. You know, why are you going to Tianjin? Oh, I'm going to visit my elderly parents. Oh, well, why didn't you say so? That's 50% off your ticket. I think that would be very easy to flout.
But anything, you know, when we talk about what the government can do in the future, I think there are several points I'm going to mention here. Looking to the future, I think it's a coordination between both Tianjin, Beijing, and Hebei provinces. For one thing, for those operators, for example, in Hebei, the local governments could be encouraging those land developers and those operators of nursing homes, give them some subsidies or tax deduction, and the land they use will be taken as priority in terms of the operating the business. And this, to some extent, will help those businesses lower their operating risks.
Exactly, you talk about business. Now, is it safe to say that this plan to try and encourage elderly people to spend their retirement ages in Hebei and Tianjin was actually a plan to try to move people from the overcrowded Beijing capital city to less crowded cities? We know that the government already has a plan to promote the concerted development of Beijing, Tianjin and Hebei. Mm. Is this new agreement just part of the plan?
It could be. I mean, it is actually. They've been talking about, you know, this sort of mega city combining Beijing, Tianjin and Hebei with this so-called seventh ring road that would go in a circle, in a loop around around all three of them. I mean, people have been starting to move out of Beijing anyway, just because it's so expensive. You see dormitory towns now. I think there's one, Yanjiao. I think it's famously known as a sleeper town because so many people are asleep on the train into Beijing in the morning because they have to get up so early to come in. And, you know, with house prices skyrocketing like they are, people are just moving further and further out. So maybe, actually, people don't need all that much encouraging. Maybe people are doing it of their own accord.
How about, is there any chance that this plan could be introduced on a wider scale? For example, places outside Beijing, Tianjin, and Hebei, for example, connected to somewhere in middle China? In Jiangxi,
connect with Beijing, or connect?
Yes.
No, I don't think it's a possible plan here, because even now, the integration of these three places tends to be a pilot program here. We don't know whether this will pan out in the future. So if it is successful, I think there will be more pilot zones like this, more integration to be expected in the future. However, I'm actually quite in the middle. I'm not sure whether this plan will pan out in the future.
I guess we'll just have to wait.